and the children are going to take part in this. So I don't know if the girls want to come to the front as well and listen. I've got to show you something, so I need you to come here. Bear with me, will you? That's it. I ought to ask all of you to come to the front, shouldn't I, really? But still. Now, you're at the front, good. Now, let's give you a bit of background to this, because we're talking about Jonathan and David, and David had to flee from Saul because Saul was fed up with him and wanted to kill him. And David came and said, you know, to Jonathan, what have I done? What have I done wrong? And, you know, your father's trying to kill me. And Jonathan says, well, never, you're not going to die. And, you know, Jonathan's being his friend. He says, well, what do you want me to do? What will I do for you? And David says this. He says, look, tomorrow is the new moon feast, and am I supposed to dine with the king? But let me go and hide in the field until evening of the day after tomorrow. If your father misses me, tell him, David earnestly asked my permission to hurry to Bethlehem, his hometown, because an annual sacrifice is being made there for his whole clan. But if he loses his temper, you can be sure that he's determined to harm me. And what do you think Jonathan's quest was after this? What do you think he said? What was he like? Go on. Let him go to Bethlehem, yeah. But I think Jonathan was very indignant with verse 9, with David's thing. He says, never, never. If I had the least inkling of my father was determined to harm you, wouldn't I tell you? And David asked, who will tell me if your father answers you harshly? So, verse 11, Jonathan says, come, let us go into the field. So they went out together. But then in verse 13, Jonathan says this, but if my father intends to harm you, may the Lord deal with Jonathan, be it ever so severely, but if I do not let you know and send you away in peace, may the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. But then Jonathan asks another question, and he says this, but show me unfailing kindness like the Lord's kindness as long as I live, so that I may not be killed. And do not ever stop your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off everyone from the David's enemies from the face of the earth. Oh dear. Poor Jonathan. And then, in verse 18, it goes on. Then Jonathan said this, tomorrow is the new moon feast. You will be missed. But he goes on and he says there, the day after tomorrow towards evening, go to the place where you hid when this trouble began, and I'll wait by the stone of Eziel. And he says, I will shoot 3 arrows to the side of it, where I will shoot at a target. Now, here we are. Who we got here? What do we got here? People shooting. What do we call them? Do you know the word for it? They're bow and arrows, but what are the people called? Hold on a moment, Colin. I know you know. Just, do you know? There. Go on, Corrie, tell us. Archers, yes. We got archers. We have archers. And can you remember how many arrows I just said would be shoot? Can't remember? No. He says, I will shoot 3 arrows. And then he says in verse 21, then I will send a boy and say, go find the arrows. And if I say to him, look, the arrows are on this side of you, bring them here. Then come, because as surely the Lord lives, you are safe. There's no danger. But if I say to the boy, look, the arrows are beyond you, then you must go because the Lord has sent you away. Now, can you remember where the arrows will be? Can you remember where the arrows will be gone? Well, some will. You're dead right. See, there we are. We got a target, and we got the arrows in the target. But where can you see the arrows that have missed? Where are they? Can you see? Yeah, where on the grass? Can you point out there and where else? Up in the air. They're not there. They've hit the ground there. They've got, you know, you've got the target, and then you say, you know, if they're this side, and then they're at the top. So, the story continues. But if... You must go. Right. Now, in verse 24, we continue. Now, the new moon feast came, and the king sat down to eat. And he sat in his normal place. And, of course, that place was opposite to Jonathan, and Abner was next to Saul. But David's place was empty. Where was David going? Gone. Well done. Yes, he was going to Bethlehem. And Paul and Saul said nothing that day, that time at all. But the next day, the second day of the month, David's place was empty again. Then Saul said to his son Jonathan, why hasn't the son of Jesse come to the meal, either to yesterday or today? So Jonathan answered him. Verse 28. David earnestly asked me for permission to go to Bethlehem because our family is observing a sacrifice in the town, and my brother has ordered me to be there. Now, how do you think Saul reacted to that? Cross? You are dead right. You are dead right, yes. I'm going to ask you to put your fingers in your ears. Put your fingers in your ears. Put your fingers in your ears. And Saul's anger flared up at Jonathan, and he said to him, you son of a perverse and rebellious woman! Do you think that was loud enough? And angry enough? You didn't. Good. So I'll say it softly then. You son of a perverse and rebellious woman, as long as the son of Jesse lives on this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Now send someone to bring him in to me, for he must die. And Jonathan asked his father, why should he be put to death? What's he done? But what do you think Saul did next? What do you think he did next? Here we are, another picture. What do you think he did next? He thought it'd be yes. Go on. Yes. I know this is 10:16:6, but it just is a spear that I've got. But Saul hurled his spear at him to kill him. Then Jonathan knew that his father intended to kill David. So how do you think Jonathan reacted to this outburst, having a spear thrown at him? Any idea? No? Upset? Yes, I think he was more than upset. Because the scripture in verse 34 says, Jonathan got up from the table in fierce anger, because he was grieved at his father's treatment, shameful treatment of David. In the morning, Jonathan went out to the field for his meeting with David. He had a small boy with him, and I think he was just a bit bigger than Alexander at the back. And he said to the boy, run and find the arrows I shoot. Now, at what do they shoot at normally? A target, isn't it? Do you think that will do as a target? Yes. But just to remind you, they shoot at a target, don't they? No, not a round one with circles on it. But that's what they practice in these days that I took the pictures of. I know I'm old, but not that old. So, they normally shoot at a target. But where did Jonathan shoot? Can you remember, where did he shoot this time? Because Saul wanted to kill David. Where did he shoot? Can you remember? No. And how many arrows did he shoot? Yes, he shot three. So where did he shoot? Can you tell me? Yeah, where? Can you see them? Where are they? Well, they look like in the air. No, they're supposed to be at the back. Furthest away. Supposed to be at the back. So as the boy ran, Jonathan shot the three arrows there, and as the boy ran, he shot the arrows beyond him. And when the boy came to the place where Jonathan's arrow had fallen, he says arrow here, but I think he had shot three arrows. That's what he said he was going to do. Jonathan called out after him, "Isn't the arrow beyond you?" Then he shouted, "Hurry, go quickly, don't stop." After the boy had gone, David got up from the south side of the stone, and they wept together, but David wept the most. Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for I have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord is witness between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" Then David left, and Jonathan went back to town. There we are. That's the story of David and Jonathan and the arrows. Yeah. 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 Good. Good. Right. Anyway. Yeah.
My life. Me. Not through there. I think I'm on here. Yeah, mine is on. It must be you at the back there. Yeah, that's all right. Someone said they can hear me. Yeah, oh yeah, that's good. People can see me, people can hear me. That's great. Wow. I believe this morning everyone here has got something they think is for them. But I want to bring this before you this morning. That in our lives we have arrows that point the direction that we must go. But sometimes we ignore them. These arrows point to us what we should do. And some of these arrows carry a message in them. If you ignore it, you have lost it. Some people are also jealous of us when we are progressing, because we've picked the message that the arrow that was pointing the direction that I should go, and I take that message. And when I'm progressing, some people are jealousy. But when God has got a message for you, he sends an arrow. When God has got a message for you, he directs you. Also, you need friends who will point you in the right direction. This morning, the story that Mike read to us, we read of two friends, Jonathan and David. David being the anointed king of Israel, he had a good friend who pointed to him the direction he had to go. As I was reading this story, I read that the stone of Azel, it was found outside the palace of Saul, or stone or stones. Those stones, that was a point of no return, they said, a point of departure, a point of disappearing. Each person in life, they have got to come to that stone as you progress in this journey of life. When you get to the stone of Azel, it's a point of no return, a point to disappear. So it's quite challenging when you get to the point of the stone of Azel. There's drama when you get to the stone of Azel, but there are also promises. Jonathan was a true friend to David. He vowed to be loyal to him. The story starts in verse 1. After David fled from Noith and to Ramah, he went to Jonathan and asked him, "What have I done? What is my crime? How have I wronged your father that he wants to kill me?" Haven't we been to such situation in our lives that you ask yourself that, "What have I done in my life that I deserve this?" It's a difficult situation. But when you get to such a situation, you need friends. And let me tell you, good friends are hard to come by, especially these days. But a good friend is the one who assures you, whether you are suffering, whether you are happy, they always stand with you. Jonathan assured David that he was going to die for him. This statement of Jonathan brings out more of the promises to David. In verse 4, Jonathan makes another concrete statement. "Whatever you want, I will do it for you." How many of our friends say such statements to us? "Whatever you want, I will do it for you." How many of our friends stand with us when it is so difficult in our lives? In verse 9 again, Jonathan assures David that he would not hide anything from David that his father is going to say. In verse 12 and 14, Jonathan again shows his loyalty to David. The final promise is in the making of the covenant. Verse 15, true friends will even tell lies to defend you. But is it good to tell lies? Hello? Is it good to tell lies? What about if someone, you hear someone planning to, well, husband and wife. Rose, let's say Michael is planning to do harm to William. And maybe William get the wind that your husband is planning to, and he confronts you and asks you, "What are you going to do? Are you going to be on the side of William or about side of Michael?" Let's be honest. Which side will you go to? No. But in true sense, you will stick with your husband or stick with your wife, isn't it? Yes? That's in true life. That happens. But look here. Look here what Jonathan is doing. He was told by David that when you get to the table tomorrow, please just tell your father, "I've gone to Bethlehem to be with my family." Had he gone to Bethlehem? No. He was in the field, isn't it? So, but the Bible tells us in Exodus 20, verse 16, "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." Not only there, it goes again to Exodus 23, verse 1. "Do not spread false reports. Do not help a wicked man by being a malicious witness." Another one again, Exodus 23, verse 7. "Having nothing to do with false charge, and do not put an innocent or honest person to death, for I will not acquit you." So if you are a false witness, the Lord will not acquit you. The Lord doesn't like people who tell lies. So this morning also, even though Jonathan was telling lies on behalf of his friend, I'm not here to teach you to tell lies. I'm saying don't tell lies, irrespective of whatever the situation is. You've got to depart from the stone of Ezel. If you have been telling fibs in the past, today you are standing at the stone of Ezel. Depart from that way of life. I've got a confession to make. 32 years ago, maybe some of you have heard this story. In order to win the love of my wife, I told her lies. I said, I'll take her to Mauritius if she marries me. Up to now, I haven't done so. So it's a confession. So telling fibs is no good. Also, I remember in the Bible, there is a story of husband and wife. That's why I gave the example of the two of you. Right? After selling their property, okay, they brought all the proceeds to their house after they sell and took some of the proceeds to the church. And Peter asked Ananias, is this all? Ananias, not knowing that he was speaking to a man of God, and God was in it, because God sees what we do in private anyway, he said, why have you decided to lie to the living God? This is not all the proceeds from your cell. And the Bible says he died. 3 hours later, the wife came. Not knowing what had happened, they asked, is this all the proceeds from the sale of your property? Oh yes, my worship, this is all. He said, no, don't tell fibs. Before she even knew what was happening, she also died. So if you tell lies, you'll die. When we go back to this story, we find out Saul, when his son Jonathan had told fibs about David, what happens? He threw a spear at him. I'm not saying because he was enraged because of the lies. We don't know, because sometimes Saul could prophesy as well. Maybe at this juncture, he knew that his son was lying. So lying is no good. But when you depart from the stone of Ezel, sometimes it's a sorrowful place to be. Separating from your beloved ones is quite a nasty experience. When God moves us to other areas, we are used to our comfort zone. When we are moved, it becomes such a nasty experience. When you take a new job, it's a difficult experience because you are not used to the new environment. When you make new friends, it's a difficult situation because you are not used to them. When things are lost through death and divorce, it's a nasty experience. When children leave home, even when they are going to college, it's a difficult situation. You are leaving the stone of Ezel. So you are going into a new environment. Expect such things to happen. When you are at the stone of Ezel, you need friends who will stand with you. A friend who stands with you can give you a rest. The Lord himself, he says in Exodus 33, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. In all circumstances, the Lord gives us courage. When things are difficult, we must always remember the Lord is the one who can give us rest. When you go to war, remember the Lord is with you. He told the Israelites that, remember, I am with you. So when we depart from the stone of Ezel, let's always remember that God is with us. We are not alone. Just to add what has already been said, Isaiah said in Isaiah 43 verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you over. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. You need such a friend who will always stand with you. Such a friend that we have is the Lord. We had the arrows that Mike was talking about this morning. I also have got three arrows that Mike was talking about this morning. So I want you to think, that pulpit is the stone of Ezel. Jonathan was shooting the arrows. Are we agreeing? And the message was, If the arrow goes beyond, there's a message. Right? If it goes forward, there's a message. So David knew when the three arrows were shot, they went beyond. They went beyond. There was a message in those arrows. David knew because they discussed about it already. So in our lives as well, sometimes we have these arrows coming to our life, in our lives. What are the arrows that come in your life that you have ignored? What are the arrows that you have seen being shot towards you and you ignored? There is a message in the arrow, in the arrows that the Lord has prepared for you. So don't ignore that message that is in there. When the arrows have been shot, it's a sign that don't go back to Saul. He will kill you. When the arrows follow behind, it's a signal that you should go ahead. So David, when he had seen these arrows following behind, he knew that he mustn't go back to Saul. So he left. So when you depart from the stone of Hazel, there are so many things that also happens. We have seen the sorrowful side of it, but there is also victory. When David left the stone of Hazel, they never saw each other again with Jonathan. If you read the whole story, Jonathan died in a war. But if you read the last verse that we read this morning, it says, Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord is the witness between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever.' Then David left, and Jonathan went back to the town." If you know the story of David, from there, he had a lot of victories. He became a great leader, a great ruler of Israel, a great worshiper, and a great psalmist. A man after God's heart. So be prepared. When you depart from this stone of Hazel this morning, be a man after God's heart. You are going to be a man of victories. You are going to be a man who is going to be a great worshiper. Proverbs 17 says, "A friend is always loyal. A brother is born to help in times of need." But a friend remains loyal. What are the qualities of a good friend? I've got three of them. But if you've got extras, you can add to them. Number one, a friend is someone who can turn. You can turn to in times of hardships. Number two, a friend is someone who will not turn you on when everyone else is against you. You remember when I asked you that, what will happen if you know that Michael wants to kill William? Will you turn Michael over? No, I don't think so. That's a friend. Someone who sticks with you. A friend is someone who always tells you the truth, even when it hurts. These are the qualities of a true friend. You might have something that you want to add to. If you look on 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 4, hear what Jonathan says. Jonathan said to David, "Whatever you want me to do, I will do for you." That's a true friend. That's a true friend. Samuel 19, verse 1. Another assurance from Jonathan. Saul told his son Jonathan and all the attendants to kill David, but Jonathan had taken a great liking to David and warned him, "My father Saul is looking for you for a chance to kill you." That's a true friend. A friend will always stick with you. A friend will always tell you the truth, even if it hurts. What about today? If your friend tells you that you are becoming obese, are you going to smile at them? Let's face it. It's your friend. Say, "Oh, the perfume you are putting on today is horrible." Are you going to smile at them? But a true friend will always tell you the truth, even if it hurts. That's a true friend. So you need to stick with that person because that person is your true friend. Look here, Jonathan and David. They told each other the truth. They didn't hide anything. Jonathan, to the extent of telling David what his father intended to do. That's true friendship. But, as I said earlier on, such friends are hard to come by today. So if you don't have such a friend, what are you going to do? We have been reading this story today about these two good friends. Here is my advice. If you don't have such a friend, why can't you try Jesus? I said friends are hard to come by. What about trying Jesus this morning? He is a friend who will stand with you through thick and thin. Because you remember, in one of his Proverbs, Solomon said, there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. That is a friend. Jesus is like that. Jesus will always stick with you, irrespective of what is going on. He also says in Mark 2, verse 17, on hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the health who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Here is that message at this stone, beside the stone of Hazel. Jesus, a good friend, says, I have not come to call the righteous. I have come to call the sinners. Are you ready to be called home by Jesus? Are you looking for a friend who will stand by you? Are you looking for a friend who will tell you the truth, even though it hurts? Jesus is such a friend. There is a story also told in the book of John. Jesus, to show that he doesn't support people who tell lies. There is this woman who came to Jesus and people had caught her in adultery. And they were trying to say, we want to stone this woman. And Jesus said, the Bible says Jesus was writing. When he lifted up his head, they all disappeared. He asked them, if any one of you has got no sin, who is going to be the first one to cast a stone on this woman? They all went away. But when they had all disappeared, Jesus didn't support the woman. What did Jesus say? He said, go, don't sin again. So Jesus doesn't support people who tell lies. There is a message in the arrow. What are the arrows in your life that have been dropped beside you? And you wondered, what is the message? Jesus is such a friend that you can consult and he'll give you the answers. Are you in need of a true friend? I ask you today to call upon Jesus. He's the friend who will never leave you alone. Do you have people who intercede for you? If you don't have, Jesus is such a friend who intercede for you to the Father. David had such a friend in Jonathan. But they lied to support one another. Jesus won't support you if you are lying. He came for such people like you and me who sometimes tell fibs. Though he doesn't support our fibs, he will stand with us. He said, I've come to call the unrighteous. Are you one of those who Jesus came to call? If you are looking for a friend, call on Jesus. He's the friend we need. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you, for you are a gracious God. We want to lift your name on high, Heavenly Father, for what you have done. The story of Jonathan and David remind us about friendship. Father, we want to maintain our friendship with Jesus. We want to be closer to him. We want to be people who are obedient to what he told us to do. One of his promises, he said, I'm going to speak to the Father who is going to send the comforter, the counselor who is going to live in you. Father, let us be people who are led by the Holy Spirit. Let us be people who can read the message in those arrows when they drop beyond us. What What do they mean? What are they saying to us? Each and everyone has had arrows in their lives. Today is the day to depart from the stone of Hazel into the future, Lord, that you have prepared for us. We want a friend who is Jesus, who will stand with us in hardship and even in happiness, in death and even in life. Father, we want to thank you for this morning. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. We will stand up together.